Right now, which is August 2025, let me show you the makeup of the House of Representatives at the national level. You have 219 seats currently held by Republicans. You have 212 seats currently held by Democrats. And then there are four vacancies. You have three Democrat lawmakers who died earlier this year in separate, unrelated events. And you also had a Republican lawmaker who resigned. This left 219 Republicans and then 212 Democrats. And so obviously, the Republicans are in power, but with a very slim margin, just 7 votes. In a situation like this, getting things done, especially getting legislation passed, is dependent on the entire party being in lockstep. They have to be in agreement with each other, and any small dissent can lock up the entire process and make getting anything passed impossible. Now, the midterms are coming up. They're going to be held in November of 2026, a little over a year from now. And historically, the party of the president usually takes a shellacking during the midterms. In fact, if we look back over the last 100 years, out of 25 midterm elections, in only 3 of them, did the party of the president gain seats. In the other 22 midterm elections, the party of the president lost seats in the House. As just one stark example, during Trump's first term in office, the Republicans lost 41 House seats in the 2018 midterms. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen again next year. The political landscape is obviously very different now than it was back then. But I'm just saying from a historical perspective, the party of the president is likely going to lose seats. And again, given the fact that the Republicans currently hold such a slim majority, just 7 seats, well, they wouldn't have to lose much in order to lose power altogether. So with that as the general backdrop, we now get to the redistricting story that's taking place over in Texas. You see, every 10 years, the boundaries of a state's voting districts are redrawn based on the results of the most recent census. And here's a quick primer on how this all works in case you don't know. The U.S. is divided into 435 different congressional districts, one district for each member of the House of Representatives. And generally, they're supposed to be equal. Each district is supposed to have roughly the same number of people in it as every other district in the country to make sure that everyone's vote roughly is equal. And so what happens is that every 10 years, once the new census numbers drop, every state, well, almost every state, there are some states that only have one congressional district. I believe there's like 7 of those states. But aside from them, every other state, they must go back and redraw the lines of the districts on the map in order to reflect the changes in the population. So again, make sure that each district still represents roughly the same number of people on average as every other district in the country. And so that's simple enough. However, the question then becomes, obviously, who gets to redraw the districts? And the answer is whatever party happens to be in power in the state legislature. And very often, the party that's in power redraws that state's electoral map in order to favor their party. That's a process called gerrymandering, redrawing congressional districts in order to benefit one party over another. That is why when you look at a map of congressional districts, well, some of them look ridiculous. For instance, the 4th District of Illinois, it looks like a pair of headphones. And it was actually drawn that way in order to connect 2 separate pockets of Hispanic communities in order to give them more representation in Congress. Then you also have the 3rd District of Maryland, which was drawn up in order to split the power of the local Republican voters, ensuring that the Republicans don't get enough votes and the district stays in Democrat control. And then likewise, on the other side of the ledger, you have the 7th District of Pennsylvania that looks like this. And it was done in order to link up several pockets of conservative voters in order to ensure that a Republican would keep that seat. And so this is just the way the game is set up, and both parties know how to play this particular game. And actually, it's this practice of gerrymandering that's partly led to a lack of representation of certain groups in Congress. And so, for instance, you have the state of California, where roughly 40% of the people statewide vote Republican, but only 17% of the seats are held by Republicans. You have Massachusetts, which is a bit more extreme, where Republicans represent 35% of the state vote, but get 0% of the seats. Connecticut is similar. Republicans represent 38% of the vote there, but they also get 0% of the seats. Maryland has 38% of their population voting Republican, but they only hold 12% of the seats, and so on. You can see the graphic up on your screen. It's a widespread phenomenon across the whole country. And of course, I will mention, just for the sake of being fair, that gerrymandering is not the only reason for that particular disparity. For instance, it could very well be that Republicans are very spread out in the state and don't have geographic pockets that they could leverage to actually gain a seat. That's a possibility. However, some districts are really designed to just split the vote. Here's, for instance, how the New York Times described the situation taking place over in Maryland. Quote, despite Democrats winning only 65% of the congressional vote statewide, Maryland's convoluted district map helped them win 7 of the state's 8 seats in the House of Representatives in 2020. Maryland's Democrats have maintained control by drawing congressional districts so that they split up the state's Republican voters. And so obviously, gerrymandering is not a secret. It's just the way it works. There's also one other aspect to the system, which is the fact that the census, it actually includes illegal aliens as a part of the count. And so states that have huge populations of illegal aliens, they actually get more congressional seats, even though those aliens can't vote. But just the fact that their human bodies are physically present there means that that state gets more representation in Congress. And so that neatly brings us along to Texas. Because of a huge influx in illegal migration, alongside legal migration during COVID, where you have people across the country just flock to Texas because they were not locking everything down, because of those two major factors, the state's share of the national population grew significantly. And so after the 2020 census was tabulated and it was concluded, it was determined that Texas would actually gain 2 additional congressional seats, which was huge. 2 more lawmakers representing Texas in the National Congress. And so you had the Texas state legislature, currently in the hands of the Republicans, go to work on drawing up a new congressional map, which, as you likely guessed, gave more power to the Republicans. Last Wednesday, the Texas GOP, they unveiled this map. You can see it up on your screen. And while it's hard to tell just from looking at it up on the screen, this new map does actually give Republicans a huge advantage when it came to the midterms. Quote, Texas Republicans unveiled a new congressional map on Wednesday that will provide their party with 5 new red-leaning districts. The redraw would significantly benefit Republicans by making districts held by Democratic Representatives Henry Cuellar and Vicente Gonzalez, who both represent heavily Latino areas of the Rio Grande Valley, redder, and make some Democrat-controlled districts even bluer in an attempt to create GOP-leaning districts elsewhere. And so basically, the new map, it would consolidate Democrats into tighter pockets, while at the same time, it would create 5 new districts whose population living in those new districts voted for Trump in the double digits last election. And so obviously, that's significant. At a time when Republicans are holding on to Congress by 7 votes and you have the midterms coming up, well, getting 5 new surefire seats doesn't hurt. Who knows? Those 5 new seats might actually prove to be the difference between the Republicans losing control of the House and retaining control of the House. However, there was a hiccup in this plan. In order for the state congressional map to actually go into effect, the Texas state legislature needed to vote on it. However, when the map was actually making its way to the Texas House and was likely to pass, you had the Democrats try to rehash an old tactic. They literally just walked out of the legislative session, which made it impossible to establish a quorum in order to conduct business. That's because unlike many other states, which require a simple majority of the lawmakers to be present in order to have a quorum and do their business, well, it's a little bit different in Texas. According to Texas's House rules, they require a supermajority, meaning that in Texas, at least 2/3 of the chamber's members must be present in order to conduct business. And when the Democrats fled the state, they broke the quorum, meaning that nothing could get done. Quote, the Democrats plan to stay away from Texas for 2 weeks to run the clock on a special legislative session called by Governor Greg Abbott in order to draw the new map. By state law, the Texas House can only conduct business when 2/3 of its 150 members are present, meaning at least 51 of the state's 62 Democrats will stay away. So far, 57 Democrats have fled the state, with members fleeing to Chicago, Boston, and New York. All plan to remain out of the state until August 19th, when the special session concludes. Now, that is, if nothing else, a way to get your will pushed forward by creatively using the rules as they're written. However, Governor Greg Abbott is not powerless in this particular situation. He has his own cards to play. Quote, Governor Greg Abbott said if the Democrats don't return by 3 p.m. on Monday, he will invoke a Texas Attorney General opinion and remove the missing Democrats from membership in the Texas House and then pick their successors under power granted in the state constitution. Upping the ante, Abbott said many of the fleeing Democrats may have committed felonies as they're soliciting donations to cover fines they face under Texas House rules, arguing that they risk bribery charges for accepting money to assist in the violation of legislative duties. To bring them to justice, he said, I will use my full extradition authority to demand the return to Texas of any potential out-of-state felons. And indeed, 3 p.m. on Monday came and went, and Governor Greg Abbott, he ordered the arrest of the Democrat lawmakers who fled the state, saying in a statement that, quote, "Texas House Democrats abandoned their duty to Texans. I ordered the Texas Department of Public Safety to locate, arrest, and return to the House chamber any member who has abandoned their duty to Texans." And just for your reference, he surprisingly does have that authority. In fact, when this exact same situation happened 4 years ago, at that time, Democrats were fleeing the state to derail a vote on an election integrity bill. At that time, the Texas Supreme Court, they actually ruled that it was legal to arrest these lawmakers. And the reason is, as we mentioned earlier, according to the rules of the Texas House, at least 2/3 of the chamber must be present in order to conduct official business. However, that very same rule, it then goes on to say that if there are absent lawmakers, quote, "for whom no sufficient excuse is made, the House members who are still present can vote to have those absent lawmakers be sent and arrested wherever they may be found." And that is exactly what happened this time. The remaining lawmakers in the state legislature, which were overwhelmingly Republican, they voted to arrest the Democrats who fled the state. And so that's where we're currently at right now. The quorum still has not been reached. The 57 Democrats who fled Texas are now subject to arrest, while at the same time, you have Governor Greg Abbott threatening to not only arrest them, but also strip the Democrat lawmakers of their membership in the state legislature and then use the power of the state constitution to appoint their successors, which, taken all together, could very well mean that we are officially in election season. Welcome, everyone, to the 2026 midterms. If you'd like to go through anything that we discussed in today's episode, including the current state of the House, as well as some, I guess you can say, funny-looking gerrymandered districts, I'll throw several links to them down into the description box below if you're the type of person that likes to dig deeper into the weeds. And all I ask in return is that as you're making your way down there to that description box, take a super short detour to smash those like and subscribe buttons so that this video can reach ever more people via the YouTube algorithm. And also, if you made it this far, you're obviously interested in the story, leave your comments. What do you think? Do you think that this is a creative use of the House rules to just flee the state? Because, I mean, if you think about it from the perspective of a Democrat in Texas, they kind of don't have any power. It would be like being a Republican in Oregon, which the reason I say Oregon is because they have actually a very similar quorum situation. But, you know, it's like they have nothing else that they could do, so they flee the state in order to enact the will of their constituents. So, you know, it's creative, it's kind of by the rules, but then you can also say that the Republicans issuing those arrest warrants and Governor Greg Abbott doing what he's doing is also playing by the rules. It's just, I guess, at this stage, the rules are getting dirty. Well, I guess the implementation of those rules are getting dirty. Anyway, leave your thoughts in the comments. Is this the first salvo of the 2026 midterm elections? Is this what we can expect to see from the midterms? This sort of like legal battles throughout the whole country, which this is just one tiny part. I'll leave your thoughts in the comments. I'll be reading them tonight as well as into the week. And then until next time, I'm your host, Roman from the Epoch Times. Stay informed, and most importantly, stay free.